Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
Democrat Party officials say they are now facing a critical shortage of intimidating insults with which to silence people who have opposing opinions. According to Democrat Vladimir Mohammad Jihad Lenin Chumahamed, chairman of the Leftist Agency of Derogatory Intimidation, or LADI, or lady, depending on your pronouns, the shortage could endanger Joe Biden's chances of re-election in the event he comes back to life before November. Mr. Lenin Chumahamed spoke to the Daily Wire on condition of anonymity, saying, quote, "We started by calling conservatives racist, but that made it sound like hating white people might be a bad thing. So we moved on to calling them Hitler. But then we found out that Hitler believed in authoritarian government, imprisoning dissenters and hating Jews, which is our entire platform. Finally, we tried calling them Christian nationalists, but then we discovered that just means people who believe in God and love their country, which turns out to be almost everybody except us. If we don't come up with a new intimidating insult soon, we won't be able to silence opposition and we'll be forced to try to rationalize our policies, which obviously would be a disaster." Unquote. An unnamed Democrat source named Sergey Mohammed Wang Nikita Jihad says Democrat strategists have been working around the clock to come up with a brilliant new plan to replenish their supply of intimidating insults by using words that mean absolutely nothing, so they can't be turned against them. In a memo leaked by an anonymous Democrat source named Rashida Ilhan Alexandria Tucker Carlson, the unnamed Latier Lady Chairman Lenin Chumahamed writes, quote, "In the past, meaningless words have worked well for the Democrat Party. We use such sentences as, the border is secure, trans women are women, the demonstrations are mostly peaceful, and George Floyd was an innocent man murdered by racist police," in which certain words were completely devoid of any recognizable meaning, like the words secure, women, peaceful, and innocent man murdered by racist police, unquote. Thus, in the hope of preventing future shortages of intimidating insults, the LADI, or lady, is proposing that Democrats simply start hurling complete gibberish at their opponents in angry voices that make it sound insulting. For instance, a proposed Joe Biden speech was leaked by an anonymous source close to LADI, or lady, named Fang Fang Jihad Tucker Vladimir Ilhan Stalin. The Biden speech says, quote, "Never before have we faced so great a threat to kabubacy as the rise of radical far-right magascabadabalism in the halls of rinky-tinkadom. Since the founding of this great kabubnik, rinky-tinkadom has rejected skabadabalism in the name of all that's kabubastic. But now skabadabalists are thralling every sconus of kabubacy's tinkadom until the very swilling forth of syntastic fill-em-up tutors on the flink of shugabugacy. This adminagroin will unthrall the scabadabs from kabubnik's rinky-tinks and restore kabubic wumpas of cherubidom, or my name is not Joe Biden, if that is my name," unquote. This proposed speech was later withdrawn when it turned out Biden had already said something similar in off-the-cuff remarks he had made to a 12-year-old girl while he was chasing her around the room trying to smell her hair. As the shortage of intimidating insults moves toward crisis, an anonymous source within the DNC, named Ubersturmfuhrer Hamas von Mausay Tanders Presley Ramirez, says the party is exploring more radical options, like trying to justify their policies to sentient human beings with the capacity for reason. Or if that's not possible, maybe just to leftist women. Or if even they're too intelligent, maybe just to the CEO of NPR. Speaking on condition of anonymity, Mr. Miss Ubersturmfuhrer Presley Ramirez told the Daily Wire, quote, "We figure, hey, we convinced our voters the climate is a crisis, killing babies is a human right, butchering children will change their sex, and Joe Biden wasn't making money off his family's influence peddling business. We might also get them to believe we're turning the country to crap for a good reason. We just have to explain that high food prices help you lose weight, or that letting unchecked illegals flood the country will make it easier to find a gardener who'll murder your mother-in-law. After all, these people voted for us. How smart can they be? Trigger warning, I'm Andrew Klavan, and this is The Andrew Klavan Show. All right, we are back laughing our way through the fall of the Republic. We want to hear from you. So write to us at klavanclapbacks@dailywire.com. We want to hear your opinions of the show, your opinions of my opinions, whether you think I'm right or you're mistaken. Write to Klavan Clapbacks, both with a K, KLAVANKLAPBACKS, at dailywire.com. And if we read it on the air, you'll win having your comment read on the air. Also subscribe to my YouTube channel. This is the Andrew Klavan YouTube channel. Daily Wire Plus, you can watch us there. We've got exclusive content all over the place just for you. Last week, we have the interviews. Those are up everywhere. Last week, we interviewed Mary Harrington, one of my favorites. And this week, the great Carl Truman will be coming to you. He is terrific. And if you leave a comment on YouTube and the comment is despicable, we will read it here because despicable is what we do. My favorite comment this week is from Ozymandias, 5257. Look on his work, ye mighty, and despair. His comment is, "Oh, Andrew, your intros may not help me recover sanity, but at least I laugh hard enough to stop drinking for a few minutes. I wish I could say the same." All right, let's get to today's episode, America Down the Memory Hole. So all the time, I remind you of what I think our position is right now, where I think we are, which is that we're in a transitional period, that whether or not Biden or Trump win the next election, the things that we've been arguing over for the last 60, 70 years are passing away because my generation is passing away. Hopefully it won't take me with it, but just in case, I just wanted to leave this with you. Our elite is corrupt, which is one of the things that happens in democracies. Our elite is totally corrupt. Our media is useless. We have this new thing, the internet, which is giving us this flood of unchecked information. And we have no way, because we can't trust anybody, we have no way of deciding which is real information and what's just crazy and what is actually exposing the lies and what's a conspiracy theory. We really don't know. It's really hard. It takes a long time to sort it all out. And we don't know who to trust. We trust the people who are on our side, but sometimes they're no good. It's very, very difficult. So we've got like a pandemic of ignorance released from the labs of our universities and our media. And as a result, each event that happens comes to us completely out of context because everything falls down the memory hole. We don't have any way of sorting anything out. And so we take each event out of context because we don't remember what came before it. We don't know what's happening now. And, you know, they're always throwing this thing about us, about systemic racism. I don't really believe that. In fact, I know this country is not a systemically racist country because I've lived in another country. And when you live in another country, and while I was there, I traveled all around, I found out that this is the least racist country on the face of the planet, bar none. It's just obvious when you live here that we live closer together with people who are different from us in a more friendly way than they do anywhere else. There's not systemic racism, but there is systemic corruption, which means that you can be a nice person, a good person, and simply by entering the systems that are in place, you become corrupt, and I'll show you what I mean. Gratitude fills my heart when I reflect on the sheer luxury of lying awake all night on a Helix mattress. Some of you may go to sleep because they're so comfortable, but not me. I just lie awake and my Helix mattress. That's why my Helix mattress isn't just a piece of furniture. It's a cocoon of comfort that cradles me while I lie awake all night, as I always do. Helix harnesses years of mattress expertise to offer a truly elevated sleep experience or lying awake experience. You guys who sleep on your Helix, you're missing how comfortable they are. If you lie awake, you really get the full thing. The Helix Elite Collection includes 6 different mattress models, each tailored for specific sleep positions and firmness preferences. If you're nervous about buying a mattress online, you do not have to be. Helix has you covered with a unique sleep quiz that customizes your mattress based on your body type and sleep preferences. No more generic mattresses made for someone else. I took the Helix quiz. I was matched with a firm but breathable mattress. I love this mattress, and I'm confident you'll love yours too, because I've tested it by staying awake all the time. Plus, Helix has a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Helix's financing options and flexible payment plans ensure a great night's sleep is never far away. Helix is offering my listeners 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows. Go to helixsleep.com/Klavan. That's helixsleep.com/Klavan. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now, or at least after you learn how to spell Klavan. Chapter one, no one is above the law. So I just want to talk about this Trump trial. I'm sure, you know, people have been talking about it all week. Obviously, Donald Trump on trial in a criminal trial in New York. Their jury selection is going on. They've just actually finished the jury. They may have opening arguments as early as Monday, possibly, which was kind of surprising because it's, you know, hard to find a good jury in New York, a fair jury in New York. They keep asking the people who come in, do you have any previous opinion about the defendant? If they could find somebody, the only person you could find without a previous opinion about Donald Trump would be like one of those tube guys they have outside of used car lots. You know, that was like, I have no opinion. I just wave in the wind back and forth. But here's the thing. I don't want to talk about what's actually happening in the courtroom too much. I want to just talk about the fact that it is impossible for an innocent person to walk into this courtroom and not in some sense become corrupt, because it's happening out of context, out of the context. Everything goes down the memory hole. Nobody remembers how we got to where we are at any given moment. All of our information is untrustworthy. So you're just walking into a thing you know, which is a trial. So here's how I just picked this out at random. Here is an ABC News report about the trial. Let's cut to.
For the first time ever, a criminal trial involving a former president. Donald Trump arriving at court facing 34 felony counts of falsifying business records to cover up an alleged hush money payment to Stormy Daniels to hide their alleged affair from voters before the 2016 election. Trump in the courtroom today as the first 96 potential jurors filed in, the judge asking them if they could be fair and impartial. And with Donald Trump right there watching, more than half of them raising their hands to say they could not be impartial.
So just if you listen to this, right, this is a little bit of structural stuff, because what I do for a living is write. I pay attention to the way words are used. You heard a lot of big words in there, words with a lot of emotional impact. So it's historic. It's a historic trial. It is a historic trial. No one has ever sunk so low as the Democrats to charge a former president, for one thing, and the lead candidate for president of one major party. So no one sunk that low. So it's historic. You know, it's like they should say it's an historic low, but it's true. It's historic. And then you hear things like hush money. That's a big thing. You know, you pay somebody hush money, and then it's an affair. So there's a sex angle. And those are the things that hit you. You can't help it. You know, it's the hush money. Now, is it hush money to pay somebody, you know, to say sign an NDA and I'll give you money? Yeah, it's hush money. So it's not dishonest, right? It's not dishonest, but it is corrupt. Why is it corrupt? Now, well, let me show you the effect, right? So here's a woman who came in to be chosen as a juror. Her name is Kara McGee. And she was turned down just simply because she didn't have time in her life to be on the jury. And sometimes they'll let you off of that because it means you'll be distracted, and it was her job. And I have to tell you, I spent years living in New York. I lived in New York for at least 10 years. I could have known this woman. She's a nice, probably liberal, young, smart, interesting, interested in her work, her life. She's probably a nice, moral person. I know there are some people who think, oh, you can't be nice and be on the left, but that's just not true. Plenty of lovely, lovely people on the left, and she's probably one of them. I'm just guessing. I don't know her, but I'm just saying, just looking at her, I've known a lot of girls like that when I lived in New York. So let's hear what she has to say about the jury selection, cut three.
It's very difficult for anyone really in this country to not come to this with prior opinions. I think we all have prior opinions about the defendant, unless you've been like living in a cardboard box since 2014. But personally, the right to a fair trial in this country is more important to me than anything this particular defendant has done or any feelings about him that I personally have.
Now, let's take her on face value, because I think she's probably telling the truth. Is she really cares about a fair trial? and wants to give even the horrible Donald Trump, which I'm guessing, but that's, I'm guessing that's what she's thinking, she wants to give even him a fair trial. And there are protesters outside with signs that say no one is above the law. And I assume you agree with that, and I certainly agree with that, no one is above the law. But none of that applies to this situation. You want him to have a fair trial, but he can't have a fair trial because of the way he was charged. You say no one is above the law, but is that the situation that we're in? So here's this nice lady. I'm sure you'd like her if you knew her. She's walking in there. She doesn't want to become a corrupt person, but in a way, that's what happens, because if she plays by the rules, she is walking into systemic corruption. Alvin Bragg, 3 years ago, Alvin Bragg's campaigning to replace Cyrus Vance Jr., who had been investigating Trump, and he had gone after one of Trump's charities, and it was in the middle of investigating, but then he said, I'm retiring, I'm getting out. And Bragg had already had a history. He helped oversee a lawsuit against one of Trump's charitable foundations. It was Cyrus Vance went after him, one of his Trump's organizations, for tax evasion, and then Bragg went after a charitable foundation over allegations that Trump used the nonprofit to further his political and business interests. A vague thing. But so he's on Radio Hot 97, and he gets asked the question. This is the DJ. He says, I know a lot of people are wondering, whoever gets this job, the DA, and Bragg was virtually, he was running against Republicans, so he's virtually unopposed in New York. Whoever has this job, are they going to convict Donald Trump? And Bragg said, that is the number one issue. So his number one issue was, would he be able to convict Donald Trump, who wasn't at that time charged with anything? And here's a brief part of that interview.
I'm the candidate in the race who has the experience with Donald Trump. I was the chief deputy in the attorney general's office. We sued the Trump administration over 100 times for the Muslim travel ban, for family separation at the border, for shenanigans with the census. So I know how to litigate with him. I also led the team that did the Trump Foundation case. So I'm ready to go wherever the facts take me and to inherit that case. And I think, you know, it'd be hard to argue with the fact that that'd be the most important, most high profile case. And I've seen him up front and seen the lawlessness that he can do.
So he's convicting him on air. He's not running for mayor. He's running for DA. He's convicting him on air of things he's not charged with. The things that he sued him over, the Muslim ban, there was no Muslim ban, that he sued him over shenanigans at the border. What was the shenanigans at the border? He's trying to shut down the border. So he's just his nemesis, right? He's funded by, guess who, George Soros. One of the big things they kept running in the papers, Alvin Bragg's not funded by George Soros. Not true. Soros funneled money to him through an organization called Color of Change, who, and then endorsed him. So he was getting Soros money. When he got in, he issued memos saying, we're not going to charge. He says, armed robberies, this is his memo, armed robberies who use guns or other deadly weapons to stick up stores and other businesses will be prosecuted only for petty larceny, a misdemeanor, provided no victims were seriously injured and there's no genuine risk of physical harm to anyone. So I walk in with a gun, but I don't steal enough to make it grand larceny, then it's just going to be a misdemeanor, even though you have been traumatized by having a gun stick in your face. So he was breaking down all these felonies to misdemeanors, letting people go free. He wasn't convicting. I think it was some huge number, like 40% of accusations he wasn't doing. But he goes after Donald Trump. What does he accuse Donald Trump of doing? Okay. First, by the way, he says, the Stormy Daniels case, he says, I can't prosecute it. And then he gets heat from the left. He gets heat from the left. And Biden is making comments that he wants Trump prosecuted. So he's under a lot of pressure. He ends up prosecuting Trump. Now, remember all those big words, right? The big words like hush money and affair. Those are historic. Those are the things that everybody's thinking about. Donald Trump had an affair, or was accused of having an affair. I don't think he's ever copped to it, with this porn actress, Stormy Daniels, calls herself Stormy Daniels, 10 years before 2016. He starts running for money. She comes, says, if you don't want me to talk about the affair, you have to pay me. So he has his lawyer, Michael Cohen, make a payment of like $130,000, and he puts it down as a legal expense. So the accusation is that it was not a legal expense, that he should have written hush money, I guess, on the check, but he wrote legal expense. Now, the statute of limitations on that crime, which is a misdemeanor, if it's true, that has run out. So that's not the crime. The statute has run out. Now, Just to put it in context, same election, Hillary Clinton secretly paid for the phony Steele dossier that accused Trump of Russian collusion and being with prostitutes and all that stuff, and used a lawyer to funnel the money while misreporting that as legal expenses. And she used a lawyer to get that out into the public and to the FBI, right? And she was fined for that. She paid a fine for that, $113,000. She paid a fine. She wasn't put on criminal trial. So Bragg originally said we can't prosecute it. Then the left got angry. And under that pressure, he then says, well, it's a felony. It's not a misdemeanor. It's a felony because he changed the thing to hide the fact that to hide a crime. And the crime is some kind of election crime that he does not name. He does not name what crime Trump was hiding. If it's a federal crime, he has no jurisdiction over it. It seems to be a federal crime that he's accusing him of hiding, some kind of election crime. Now, the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution says this. You have the right to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation. So Trump is being charged with what would be a misdemeanor if he weren't hiding a crime, but he's hiding a crime, but he doesn't know what crime he was hiding. That's the charge. That is the charge. Now, just today, there was a little clip in the Wall Street Journal from Slate of a guy saying, well, I thought this case was a sham, a left winger saying, I thought this case was a sham, but it's the only case we've got, so we've got to do it. The judge, Juan Merchan, his daughter is a Democrat, works with Democrats on our online campaigns. He's contributed to Democrats. But never mind all that. You have a right to be a judge and a Democrat at the same time. But by his fruits, we should know him. He's not granting Trump any kind of leeway to campaign, any kind of leeway to go to his son's graduation. So this could have been prosecuted in December after the election. They purposely scheduled to keep Trump from campaigning. But instead, you know, Trump is being taken out of the campaign for the flimsiest indictments that would ever been brought against anyone. No one but him would have been charged with this. So you go in there as an innocent juror thinking no one is above the law and I want him to have a fair trial. But how is this fair? How is it fair? Hillary Clinton did something far, far worse, obviously worse, and was fined for it, which was right. If Trump were fined for this, I would shrug it off. And this guy's going on trial, like facing prison, facing a conviction of some kind of real malfeasance. And we know everybody's not above the law because Hillary Clinton didn't treat this. He's not being treated fairly. So this juror trying to do the right thing, trying to treat everybody fairly, give them a fair, can't do it. The whole system is so corrupt. It is so corrupt. The Democrats have so corrupted our electoral system and now our court system that there's no way to bring a fair trial to this. The only way to bring a fair trial is to say, look, this never should have been brought. We're letting him go. But of course, you can't make that decision in a trial. So you are being brought into a corrupt system and you are going to act corruptly whether you want to or not. It's not the juror's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. The power is corrupt. Our elites are corrupt. Our court system has been corrupted. The Democrats have corrupted every single thing they've touched and then accused Trump of being corrupt. Now, the other thing about this, this is a little bit off topic, but I also have to bring this up. Trump has been a freaking amazing throughout this. He's charged with 90 things, the federal things, and he has just been hilarious, on point. The man is 77 years old. Joe Biden is shuffling around. He can't even walk anymore. He can't even make a sentence come out of his mouth so it makes any sense whatsoever. Here's Trump at a bodega, a New York bodega, on a break from the trial when he finally can get out. He says, I have to campaign locally. So he goes to a bodega. Here's a cut of him.
How are you, everybody?
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
How are you? Nice to see you.
It's a great group.
Everything is screwed up in New York, and the whole world is watching. This judge is so conflicted. You understand that. You'll take a look at that. There's never been a judge so conflicted as this. It's ridiculous. And also, there's no crime. You know where the crime is? In the bodegas, where they come and rob them every week. Or more than that.
The guy is on top of his game. It kind of is amazing. I mean, it really is, you know. The other thing is, it's always fair to accuse Trump of hyperbole. You know, he puts everything, this is the most important this and the most corrupt that and the most corrupt that. But he's right. They've put him in a position where the words coming out of his mouth are right, which really makes me think that this could blow up in their face big time, because there's simply no way, if anybody looks into this case at all, at what he's being charged at, where you cannot tell. First of all, I cannot believe if he gets convicted that it's going to hold up on appeal. And secondly, just people looking at this are going to say this man is being treated unfairly. And most people, you know, in America, most people are pretty fair. You know, they think like, well, the guy was mistreated. That might make them sympathetic to him. Now, meanwhile, while Trump is doing this, Biden is going out around talking about his relative. Well, just listen to this clip six.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bosey. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found parts of the plane and the like. And what I was thinking about when I was standing there was when Trump refused to go up to the memorial for veterans in Paris, and he said they're a bunch of suckers and losers.
Trump didn't go to the memorials, and my uncle was eaten by cannibals. Totally untrue story, completely bogus. The guy, he was in the war, his plane crashed into the ocean. Nobody even knows why it crashed, and he disappeared without a trace. But now he's been eaten by cannibals, which is hit by Trump. I only throw that in there, first of all, because it's absolutely hilarious. Second of all, because you remember how the Washington Post kept a running count of Trump's lies. So if Trump said nice day and it was cloudy, that was a lie, and they wound up with like 13,000 lies or something like this. But this is, it's a little bit of exaggeration. He's a tale teller. The New York Times called the tale teller in chief. He's not even there anymore. You know, like you hardly even can blame him. I sit and watch him and go, all right, Uncle Bosey was eaten by cannibals. Just sit down and we'll bring you some porridge. Unbelievable, unbelievable. So that's the memory hole in Biden's head. But the memory hole here is how this case came to be, what this case is. So all you are left with, if you're watching TV, you're an ordinary citizen, you're not reading everything that comes out, you're watching TV to catch up on the news so you can go about your business. All you know is historic hush money affair, you know, sex, hush money, dirt, it's historic. That's all you know. And you have this memory hole. And the context is the entire thing is corrupt. And that's one of the serious problems we're facing right this minute, is this, in this emergency of this crisis of information, the fact that we have no memory, so we do not know what's going on at any given moment. A great way to get to sleep is Beam Dream. I have tried it. It really does ease you into sleep. And even before I tried it, I went and tested and researched the ingredients. It's got this all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. And before I would even do the ads, I researched all of them, and they are all recognized as being helpful to falling asleep. And it also means that this is not just your run-of-the-mill sleep aid. It's a concoction carefully crafted to help you slip into the sweet embrace of rest without the grogginess that often accompanies other sleep remedies. Sleep is the foundation of your mental and physical health. I can't even say it because I only fall asleep when I drink this stuff, and then I wake up again. You must have a consistent nighttime routine to function at your best. Today, my listeners get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder, their best-selling hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It's now available in delicious flavors like cinnamon cocoa, chocolate peanut butter, that's the one I like, and mint chip. Better sleep has never tasted better. Just mix Beam Dream into hot water or milk, stir or froth with the fun machine they give you, and enjoy before bedtime. If you find yourself battling the bedtime blues, give it a shot. Your weary self will thank you. If you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, take advantage of 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Klavan and use code Klavan at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Klavan with my promo code Klavan for up to 40% off your order. Now you know how to spell Beam, but do you know how to spell Klavan? It's K-L-A-V-A-N. No ease. I just make it look this easy.
There are no easy things.
Chapter 2, Thanks, President Reagan. Now, I have to say before I start this chapter that I was right. You know, I prepare the show over the course of the week as the news comes in and things I want to talk about. And I was writing this chapter already. And then on Thursday, Dan Henninger of the Wall Street Journal essentially said exactly what I was going to say. So I want to give him credit for getting out there first. And he put out a video, so I'm taking some of his sound. He's a great column. This is no shame in stealing from Dan Henninger. But I do want to say that we came up with this simultaneously. So Iran attacked Israel. Now, this is a big deal because it raises the stakes of this fight in the Middle East, right? You know, nobody wants to see this thing spread, but up until now, Iran has been using the proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas. These are all just Iran. You know, Iran is the greatest sponsor of terrorism in the world, greatest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. And so Iran now unleashed a massive, massive air attack on Israel. Some people are saying that they basically informed the United States that this was happening because they didn't really want to hurt anybody, because then if they did, even the United States might attack them back. But I don't know if that's true, but it is true that we listen in on them, and we have a lot of good intelligence coming out of Iran, so we probably knew that this was happening. So they launched like 300 drones and missiles at Israel, which obviously would have caused tremendous damage and loss of life. But Israel and America and some other, and Jordan and a couple of other countries, with the help of a couple of other countries, went out and shot these things out of the air with the Iron Dome and with pilots and all this stuff. And the only person who was injured was a 7-year-old girl from an Arab Bedouin community in southern Israel. But most of the drones and missiles were intercepted. And the U.S. and Jordan also shot some down. And Biden, of course, is bragging about this. All his spokespeople are buying. Here's Biden in his senile, muttering, half-dead way saying it. But all his spokesmen are out there cheering Joe Biden help the Israelis shoot down this massive attack. It's cut 11.
As you know, Iran launched an unprecedented aerial attack against Israel, and we mounted an unprecedented military effort to defend Israel. Together with our partners, we defeated that attack.
All right, we defeated that attack. Again, it's not untrue. Like the reports of Trump's trial, it's not untrue. It just has no context, right? So we want to give it some context. We want to not forget everything that ever happened before this moment. We want to not get the guys who were talking about everything as if it just appeared out of nowhere. You know, we want to remember, first of all, after the attack is over, Biden says to Israel, take the win, take the W, and don't retaliate, which is absurd. I mean, they fired 300 missiles at him and drones. You know, you cannot allow that to happen. We wouldn't allow it to happen to us. Israel has already struck back. It's so far as I'm speaking to you, we only know that they hit a military facility. They had to do something. It looks like they were pretty restrained about it. But let's put into context this victory, right? Now, you may remember Robert Gates. He was Barack Obama's Secretary of Defense, been in Washington forever. He had this line where he said that throughout his career, Biden has been wrong on foreign policy. Here's an interview he gave to Anderson Cooper, cut 8.
You wrote Joe Biden was a man of integrity. Still, I think he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past 4 decades.
I think he's gotten a lot wrong.
You're talking all through the years as vice president.
He opposed every one of Ronald Reagan's military programs to contest the Soviet Union. He opposed the first Gulf War. That list goes on.
So he opposed what Reagan was doing. So I know you think like, it's like 1980s, almost 50 years ago, 40 years ago. What does that got to do with anything? Well, you know, during the Cold War, for those of you who don't remember, there was a constant threat of nuclear war breaking out with the Soviet Union. And Reagan came up with this idea called the Strategic Defense Initiative to shoot missiles out. It was supposed to be space-based defense that would shoot missiles out of the sky. Here is him talking about it back in, 83?
What if free people could live secure in the knowledge that their security did not rest upon the threat of instant U.S. retaliation to deter a Soviet attack, that we could intercept and destroy strategic ballistic missiles before they reached our own soil or that of our allies.
The amazing thing about this, by the way, is Reagan wanted to share, once we developed it, Reagan wanted to share it with the Soviet Union to erase the strategy of mutual assured destruction. So in other words, it would basically put nuclear weapons out of the picture. It was an amazingly visionary thing to come up with. There was no idea that anybody could do it, so Ted Kennedy made fun of it. He called it Star Wars. And the press and the Democrats, and I was there, remember, this is, I'm talking from memory here, the press and the Democrats universally made fun of this. Oh, Reagan, stupid actor. He was always the stupid actor when he wasn't the warmonger. He was the stupid actor. When he wasn't evil, he was stupid. When he wasn't stupid, he was evil. This is the most ridiculous thing. And chief among those people talking about how stupid this was our old friend, Uncle Bosie's nephew, Joe Biden.
Star Wars represents a fundamental assault on the concepts, alliances, and arms control agreements that have buttressed American security for several decades. And the president's continued adherence to it constitutes one of the most reckless and irresponsible acts in the history of modern statecraft.
Now, Star Wars SDI, never became a reality in the sense that we never got the space-based defenses. But the technology that came out of the research done, especially and with the help of Israel, developed this stuff that they're now using to shoot missiles out of the air, like the Iron Dome. And people would say, you can't do it. It's like hitting a gnat with a bullet. You know, it can't be done. But it can be done, and the Iron Dome is basically one of the things that came out of so-called Star Wars. So in the Middle East war, let's start with this. Here's a war that's going on in the Middle East. We would not be in this war if Biden had A, not encouraged evildoers with his disgraceful retreat from Afghanistan. And this is one of the this is another thing we've forgotten, right? Joe Biden thought he was the smartest person in the room. His generals wanted to leave some of our troops in Afghanistan to keep the peace. Biden said no. He took them out. He closed Bagram Air Force Base, so the only way out was the base in Kabul. And that's when our military lost 13 people who were killed at the Abbey Gate suicide bombing. And then, remember this, we retaliated. We were supposed to retaliate for the Abbey Gate bombing, and we made a mistake, and we killed 10 civilians, instead of including 7 children. So now, when Israel does that, Joe Biden is the first guy to come out and say, oh, this is terrible. Israel's got to dial it back. We need a ceasefire now. We've got to stop this horrible stuff in Hamas. When we did the same thing for an event that didn't have to have to happen. On top of this, of course, he withdrew Donald Trump's Abraham Accords. He withdrew Donald Trump's crackdown on Iran, so Iran can make money selling oil again, which money they're using to buy these drones and these missiles. They're shooting at all of this. It's not that Joe Biden is the evil person. He's just made it possible for these evil people to attack Israel in the way, in this missile way, this air launch way that they're attacking. And on top of this, the technology with which Israel shot down this attack, with which they kept it from, because think of what would have happened if Israel had been hit, if they'd really had to fight back, if they'd really had to retaliate in a big way, then we'd be edging toward World War III. That technology would not be there if Joe Biden had his way. Unbelievable stuff. You forget this. So he gets to do a victory lap for something that simply wouldn't have happened without Reagan and without Donald Trump, right? On top of this is another thing. Jordan was one of the people who allied with us, right? Now, Jordan has a border with Israel, so they had an interest. But that wouldn't have happened either if Saudi Arabia and the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, hadn't shared intelligence and opened their airspace for Israel's retaliation. Well, why are they on our side? Why are the Arabs and the Muslims supporting Israel, which is supposed to be their great enemy? Well, it's because Barack Obama and Joe Biden's policies strengthened Iran. That was Obama's theory, that if we strengthen Iran, they'll take care of the Middle East for us. The world's greatest terrorists are going to take care of the Middle East for us, and we'll be able to withdraw our interest in there because we'll have the wonderful Iranians. I mean, it's the stupidest idea ever. This was the whole idea of the nuke treaty that was supposed to stop them from having a nuke for, oh, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes, and then they could get a nuke later. This is what, that was Obama's strategy. He was so anti-American. He hates this country. He has always hated this country. He's an anti-colonialist. He does not like America. He thinks we're the bad guy. We're the problem. So they strengthened Iran. They allowed ISIS, or ISIL, as Obama had to call it, just to be annoying. They allowed ISIS to take over territory the size of Ohio. Donald Trump comes in, wipes out the ISIS caliphate in about 20 minutes. Remember, Obama said, oh, this is going to be a generational war. It was a generational war if you count like 10 minutes as a generation. Trump went in and said, do me a favor to our military, kill those MFs. And they did. They just took them out. So that part of Obama's strategy was erased, thank heavens. And then on top of that, his administration goes in and uses the fact that Obama has strengthened Iran to get the Arabs into line and sign the Abraham Accords with Israel because they realize they don't want to be fighting Israel because Israel's not the bad guy. Israel is a free state. Listen, if they stopped attacking Israel, there would be no more fighting in the Middle East in terms of Israel. Israel doesn't want to fight with anybody. They're the size of a shoebox. They just want to go ahead doing the stuff they're doing, inventing medicines and weapons and things that they build because they're Jewish and they like science and all that stuff. They just want to go about and being a democratic country that treats everybody fairly and equally. You know, that's what they want to be doing. The fight in there is coming from outside and they're fighting back. So Trump goes in there and uses that to form an accord against Iran. And this is the situation that we're in. Again, you can't blame a guy for, you know, walking down an alley in the dead of night and getting mugged. You don't say it's his fault he got mugged. It's the mugger's fault. It's Iran's fault for being evil. But Joe Biden set up the entire situation in which Iran is operating and then would have stopped the situation that prevented them. Everything he's done is everything that happened there. He shouldn't be taking a victory lap. He should be getting hammered, just hammered endlessly for the situation he's gotten us in. Donald Trump, 4 years, you can have criticisms of him. I certainly have criticisms of the way he handled the pandemic. But no more wars. He had no wars. And it wasn't because he was isolationist. I mean, he's America first. I'm America first. But he wasn't isolationist, which is a stupid policy. Isolationism is a brainless policy because the world is too small for us to feel we can't be in any fights. There are people who hate us. And if they build up enough strength, we won't be able to defeat them. So we have to stop them early. You know, you can't live in the world as if evil didn't exist. It's absurd. But Donald Trump wasn't that guy. He showed people that he would kill their leaders if they messed around. He showed people that he was a dangerous guy enough, that he was strong enough to stop them. And they stopped, whereas Biden says, don't. That was what he said about Iran before the attack. What do you say to Iran? I say, don't. What did he say to Putin before he went into Ukraine? I say, don't. And it really works, doesn't it? They tremble in their shoes. You know, Putin goes, oh, you know, I must not enter Ukraine. No, they just go into Ukraine. Don't, you know, yeah, screw you, because they don't have any fear of him. And on top of all this, you know, Reagan's missile defense that helped him get through it, Trump's strategies and his causing the Arabs to become allies with Israel, using Obama's mistakes to the good. And obviously, it wasn't Trump, it's his administration, but still, it happens on his watch. Nobody can ever say those three words, conservatives were right. You can't say it, which is another thing about the memory hole. It's not a sinkhole, and I'll show you what I mean. Are you looking for the perfect Mother's Day gift that will make the women in your life feel pampered and appreciated? My friends at Genucel have you covered. Genucel is offering an extra 25% off in honor of their 25th anniversary. This makes this already awesome Mother's Day sale their biggest sale ever. If you haven't tried Genucel, a great place to start is with their most popular package. This package features their Gen 90 serum, which instantly erases the wrinkles around your eyes, forehead, and mouth. It also includes their top-selling under-eye bags and puffiness serum, as well as their jawline treatment for a more contoured, defined jawline. Genucel is so confident in their product that they guarantee you'll see results in less than 12 hours or you'll get your money back. Celebrate the special woman in your life this Mother's Day with the world's best skincare at a once-in-a-lifetime price. Visit Genucel.com/Klavan for an additional 25% off Genucel's already amazing Mother's Day sale. And right now, in your order, Genucel will include a free spa box with two bonus gifts and free shipping. Don't wait. The sale won't last long, and they have limited inventory available. Genucel.com/Klavan. Go to Genucel.com/Klavan right now, or as soon at least as you know how to spell Klavan. It's K-L-A-V-A-N. Chapter 3, it ain't a sinkhole. What do I mean by that? A sinkhole is a natural hole that opens up in the earth because of geological forces, right? That's not what our memory hole is. Our memory hole was dug. It was dug by leftists so they would never have to say the three words, conservatives are right. Yuri Berliner, right? He at Barry Weiss's Free Press. Last week, I think I said accidentally Barry Weiss was fired by the New York Times. She was forced into a position where she had to resign because of her integrity. And I knew that. I just misspoke. I shouldn't say she was fired. She resigned because of her integrity. She set up this great place, the Free Press. She's doing terrific. Yuri Berliner, an award-winning senior business editor at National Public Radio for more than two decades, goes to her and says, NPR has lost the trust of America. Now, people like to tell us that whenever we threaten to defend, I think it's Ted Cruz is threatening to defund NPR, and NPR should for sure be defunded. They always say, we only get 1% of our budget from the federal government. That's a lie. That's one of their many lies. They get it in a very complicated way. There's a big amount of money that goes into a non-government agency called the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which then goes to local stations who then contract with PBS and NPR. They get a lot of their budget. I don't know if it's half, but it's a lot of their budget from the federal government. So this guy, this business guy, goes Yuri Berliner. He goes to the Free Press, and he writes this article, and he talks about the fact that he is a typical NPR listener. He describes an NPR listener as an EV, an electric vehicle driving, Wordle playing, tote bag carrying coastal elite. And he says, that's not far off of me. I'm a Sarah Lawrence educated, was raised by a lesbian peace activist mother. I drive a Subaru, and Spotify says my listening habits are most similar to people in Berkeley. So NPR is his place, right? He's a lefty, but he's being honest. And he unleashes a series of incredibly specific charges at NPR. He said, listen to what he says. He said, back in 2011, NPR's audience tilted a bit to the left, but it bore a resemblance to America at large. 26% of listeners described themselves as conservatives, 23% as middle of the road, 30% as liberal. And he says, but by 2023, the picture was completely different. Only 11% described themselves as conservative, 21% as middle of the road, 67% of listeners said they were very or somewhat liberal. So an institution getting a lot of money from the federal government, your tax dollars, is serving one side. It's one side. And by the way, I can testify to this. I used to listen to NPR because I'm a culture guy, right? I love the arts. That's where you're going to hear an interview with a jazz man or a painter that you've never heard of before. We're conservatives. We don't do that because we're stupid. We think everything is politics. We only love the arts when the arts are political. We just never say, oh, this is good. We like this. And even though it's offbeat or avant-garde, even though the guy who made it is a leftist, it's a beautiful work of art. We never do it. So I would listen to NPR. But after a while, the socialism was simply too thick. It was like you're cooking a good steak and suddenly you can't breathe because the smoke is thick. The socialism was so thick, I had to stop listening. All right, so here he goes on. An open-minded spirit no longer exists within NPR, and predictably, we don't have an audience that reflects America. They go after he says a lot of this comes from Trump, but it was happening before Trump. It just went into, red alert mode when Trump gets on. They hitched their wagon to Trump's most visible antagonist during the Russian collusion hoax, Adam Schiff. Now, we know Adam Schiff lied. Oh, yeah, I've seen the evidence. Oh, yeah, I've seen the evidence. Definite Russian collusion. Turned out not to be so. But here's the thing. When the Mueller report found no credible evidence of collusion, NPR's coverage was notably sparse. Russiagate quietly faded from our programming. Memory hold. They memory hold their false coverage of the Russiagate hoax. Hunter Biden laptop, he says, they did the same thing. They refused to cover it. I remember that. They said, we're not going to cover this. It's a waste of time because it's not true. Then when it was justified, the Hunter Biden laptop turned out to be real. Memory hole. They didn't even talk about it. The lab leak COVID theory, same deal. They condemned anyone who believed it. They just, after it was legitimized, after it turned out that the COVID probably was leaked by a lab, they simply stopped covering it. Again, memory hole, because they can never say those three words, conservatives were right. If they say those three words, their arm falls off. Bret Baier at Fox News has these stories first. The Daily Wire has these stories first. We always question what we're being told because we know how corrupt our administration is. We know how corrupt our elites are. We know how corrupt the media is. So Daily Wire questions it. Bret Baier is always very fair, does good reporting. Very specific stuff. He says, in D.C., where NPR is headquartered and many of us lived, I found 87 registered Democrats working in editorial positions and zero Republicans. None. All right. So he's talked about this. It's incredibly specific. He talks about the fact that they've covered the Israel-Hamas war and its spillover into the streets and campuses through the intersectional lens of oppressor versus oppressed. And of course, the Jews are never oppressed. So it's not Israel that's oppressed. It's always the terrorists are oppressed. And that's the way they covered it at NPR. Very specific charges. Here's the response from NPR's chief news executive, Edith Chapin, writes in a memo to staff Tuesday afternoon. She says, "We're proud to stand behind the exceptional work that our desks and shows do to cover a wide range of challenging stories. We believe that inclusion among our staff with our sourcing and in our overall coverage is critical to telling the nuanced stories of this country and our world." What inclusion? They're not including any opinions other than the left wings, the far left wing. That's this whole complaint, right? That's what he's complaining about to begin with. But it's about inclusion. In other words, essentially saying he doesn't like people who are different than he is. Fernando Alfonso, a senior supervising editor for Digital News, wrote that he wholeheartedly rejected Yuri Berliner's critique of the coverage. He said, as a person of color, and by the way, anybody who begins a sentence like that, there ought to be an automatic trap door that just appears under you and you just drop through it. As a person of color, what happened to him? We just didn't want to hear the rest of that sentence. The same thing with I have children. I have children in this country, you know? It's like everybody has children. Lots of people have children. We're all different colors. So what? What's your opinion? What are you saying? And he goes on to say, you know, NPR, the efforts NPR has made to diversify its workforce and its sources, unique and appropriate given the news industry's longstanding lack of a diversity. No answer to the things that this guy is saying, to what Yuri Berliner is saying. Now, meanwhile, it turns out that the NPR CEO, Catherine Marr, is a fruitcake. I mean, she is an absolute, I don't like to make stereotype jokes about blondes, like blondes are dumb. But if blondes were dumb, this would be the queen of the blondes. This woman's an idiot. She has no journalistic experience. She is so far left that she cannot see to the right. Her whole right face is gone. Like she has no way of even seeing what everybody says. Now she's been trying to delete all her tweets that show this, but Chris Rufo, the indispensable man, future president of the United States, I love Rufo. He's been unearthing these things. Here's some of the things she's tweeted. Donald Trump is a racist during the George Floyd riots. Looting is counterproductive, but it's hard to be mad about protests not prioritizing the private property of a system of oppression founded on treating people's ancestors as private property. So people own slaves, so if you want to burn down your neighbor's bodega, go ahead. Catherine Marr, white silence is complicity. If you are white, today is the day to start a conversation in your community. Again, all that benefits all humanity without a single woman or person of color on the OpenAI board. It just goes on and on. Here is she giving a TED talk on truth. She was part of Wikipedia. She ran Wikipedia for a while. Here's what she says about the truth on a TED talk, cut 12.
Part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience in all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths. And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people, what happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world.
Well, she's mixing up truths and opinions. There are people who have truths and people have opinions, and we argue about those, and those arguments do move us forward if and only if we concede when our ideas make sense and when our ideas do good. If our ideas don't do good, then we change our ideas, unless we happen to be a leftist who works for NPR and can fix the news the way you want it, because then you've dug a memory hole, so you never have to test your truth against history. You know, it was one thing, I've talked about this with friends. It was one thing in the 30s when people thought socialism was a good idea. You know, that's a different time before it had really shown what it does, before it had really shown how it's just devours everything in its place. You could say like, oh, you people, you capitalists are just greedy. Socialism is the way forward. Yeah, until you find out that no, that's not what happened. If things get memory holed, you have no way, you have no basis on which to judge your opinions. There aren't many truths. There's only one truth. I acknowledge that it's sometimes hard to know what that truth is, and we all have different values, and we all have different opinions about the truth, but that's how we go forward, is by discussing things and finding out where they went and remembering. But how can you remember if every time you get a story wrong at NPR, the story simply fades away? The memory hole is not a sinkhole. It didn't just open up on its own. It is dug by people like this, by people like Catherine Marr. And these people are so spread throughout the journalist industry that we don't really have journalists anymore, unless they're independent journalists like Barry Weiss, unless they're people like Chris Rufo looking after the truth and unearthing the truth. But when you turn on NPR, you are just being lied to again and again and again. And then when the lies stop because they've been disproved, down the memory hole they go. Did you know that 52% of men over the age of 40 experience some form of ED? With stats that high, it's strange that this topic has always been taboo. HIMSS is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable and discreet health treatment, all from the comfort of your couch. All you need to do is visit HIMSS.com and answer a series of questions on their site. A medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication will ship directly to you for free and in discreet packaging. HIMSS provides access to clinically proven generic alternatives to Viagra and Cialis, with options as low as $2 per dose. No insurance is needed. You'll pay one low price for your treatments, online visits, ongoing shipments, and provider messaging. HIMSS has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. If ED is getting you down, it's time to change that. Start your free online visit today at HIMSS.com/Klavan. That's HIMSS.com/Klavan for your personalized ED treatment options. Visit HIMSS.com/Klavan today. I like the way they tell you how to spell HIMSS. Who doesn't know how to spell HIMSS? It's Klavan. You don't know how to spell Klavan. K-L-A-V-A-N. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for detail and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. Final chapter, into the anonosphere. The anonosphere, there's a great word, right? These are people who are anonymous. Why do I want to talk about this? We not only forget things that happened before, we not only have them shoved down the memory hole, but sometimes the future is hiding in plain sight. And the things that are happening right in front of our eyes are not the trends of the future. They're actually the trends of the past. And that is what I believe is happening now. And the future is really important to me because I'm not going to be here to see it. And I kind of want to get a hint of what it is. So when I speak to you, I'm not just speaking about what's happening this very moment. I'm speaking about where we're headed. The anonosphere is right, young right-wingers who I've been hunting down and listening to and reading and paying attention to, who don't use their real names because they're afraid. Now, I couldn't live like that. I could not live not taking the hits. But they have a reason behind what they're saying, and there are people who feel that this is a time when you have to be anonymous in order to build something that will be there in the future. So they're kind of memory-holing the future. I saw this once before. In the 1980s, Ronald Reagan was president. Things were going really well. Reagan was doing a good job. And I kept noticing, if everybody's doing such a good job, why are all the news stories left-wing oriented? Why are all the TV shows suddenly more left than they used to be? Why are the people who are intellectual suddenly talking in this left-wing way? What I was noticing, but I didn't know it, was the left was taking over the institutions. And there have been a lot of books about this. Chris Rufo wrote one. Michael Knowles' Speechless covers this a little bit. There's a new book out called Next Gen Marxism by Mike Gonzalez and Catherine Gorka. I had Katie Gorka on the show before the book came out. It's a good, really good book, but it sort of tells you how they took over the institutions. But that was happening in secret then. We did not know it was happening. It was not in the news. So we didn't see that this future was coming. And conservatives who tend to be mired in both the past and the moment, right? They mire in the past. They see the past is passing away. They panic and they think we've got to fix this now. This is the most important moment of our lifetime. And they don't pay attention to things like the arts, things like the culture. They don't pay attention to things that take time to change the atmosphere. And what is happening now in the anonosphere, a lot of right wingers who are sort of building a parallel culture to places like us, the Daily Wire. Now, the Daily Wire gets accused of being kind of conservative ink, kind of the middle of the road. That's not true. What we've done is we've shifted the conversation further to the right, so it's kind of caught up with us a little bit. But before we were here, that wasn't happening. All these people, like these anti-Semites, these Groypers types, they're piggybacking on us. We brought right-wing culture into the conversation more, and now there are these people that are also kind of behind the scenes that are talking about a world that they want to build. That's not a world of hatred, not a world of of bigotry and all this stuff. But it is really different than what we are talking about here. And some of the things I agree with, and some of them I don't. But I think you should keep an eye on it, because I think the future is going to come out of this community too. They basically feel that even doing what we're doing, which is attacking the left, which is fighting back against the left, helps the left because it becomes part of the conversation. And we've talked about this a little too. Like, for instance, if they say you're racist and then they say we hate white people, we say, who's the racist now? And then we essentially concede the point that racism is a central problem, which I don't believe it is in America. I don't believe racism is a central problem at all. I believe there's such a thing. There's always such a thing as racism, and there are always nasty racist people, and they can make a lot of noise. And of course, the left covers all the right-wing racists because they want to make us look racist, but that's not really the problem. Or, you know, they'll say transgenderism is a thing, and then the former Bruce Jenner will turn out to be a conservative, and they'll attack him and say, who's the transphobic now? As if there's such a thing as transphobia, which there's not, right? We just don't believe that you can change sexes, that's all. So what they're saying is, don't be in the argument with the left because you're simply supporting their point of view, because they have, I guess, they have such such power, and also you're essentially conceding the fact that they're a part of the establishment. These people feel democracy has failed. And they're not quite clear about how they want to replace it, but it's kind of with an oligarchy. It's kind of like they want a kind of CEO type king, and then he's surrounded by elites and they'll run things. And it's the old idea that there is no such thing as democracy. Everything is either monarchy or oligarchy. And they kind of want an oligarchy. I'm a little wary about this because I know when people get power, they get oppressive. But still, I kind of understand where they're going. Democracy right now, it doesn't look very democratic. They're not racist in the sense of being hateful, but they're kind of like Charles Murray. They believe that blacks are inferior, and if we treat everybody equally, blacks will fall behind. I believe in treating everybody equally. I believe in treating everybody equally. And I think that that will force, if blacks fall behind, that will force them to fix the things that are really holding them back, which is not systemic racism. It's systemic fatherlessness. It's bad education. It's people saying, oh yeah, we're not going to have any elite classes anymore because the blacks get into them. So we're going to bring everybody down to the blacks. That is true racism on the left. But I do think if we treat everybody equally, everything will shake out the way it shakes out. And then those people who want to get ahead will get ahead. And I'm suspicious of genetic predeterminism, you know, people who think the genetics is all. I mean, genetics always seems to prove that the moment is the way things have to be, and things then change in the future. But I do agree with them about this, that we should just get out of the race business. Government out of the race business out of the race business, everybody out of the race business, let every man take care of himself and treat everybody as he comes. So I agree with that as well. I think that the Democrat means are worth fighting for. But the other thing I agree with these guys about is that we have to start a culture. Every time, there's plenty of very, very, very talented people on the left. They make good movies sometimes. We should be making movies of our own, not just movies, but we should be doing everything, Substack, videos, short videos, long videos. This is the kind of thing that we're trying to do here at The Daily Wire. We need more people doing it. We need independent people doing it. We need AI doing it. The thing is, you know, the one thing I disagree with these right-wingers is I think they ought to go back to the beginning, and before they give up on the American system, they ought to go back and really take a look at what this country was supposed to be and see if they can remember who we are. I think we need to bring the founding out of the memory hole before we move.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
To the future. It's been 2 years of fighting the left and building the future with great products, and we're only getting better. Jeremy's second-gen razors are here. Same mission, better razors. You'll immediately notice the totally reconstructed ergonomic handle for superior durability and improved coated stainless steel blades that last longer, plus enjoy more flexibility for a close shave without nicks or cuts. Watch this. This one isn't working. Oh, maybe I should take it out of the box. For those who meticulously craft their masculine look, introducing Jeremy's new Precision 5 razor, completely transformed with a precision trimmer and enhanced comfort thanks to the improved lubrication strip. Experience an exceptionally smooth and close shave with added durability to withstand those accidental drops. And if shaving feels more like a chore, meet the brand new Sprint 3 with open blade geometry for a swift, clean shave, allowing you to get back to your manly pursuits in no time. Razors not made in China, razors made right. Progress that isn't progressive. I love these things so much, I shaved off a perfectly beautiful full head of hair just because I couldn't stop using it. So head on over to jeremysrazors.com to upgrade to your new second-gen razor today. All right, Klavan clapbacks.
Going to a bodega. You know about that, right?
Yeah!
The bodega. All right, Klavan clapbacks. Klavan and clapbacks, both spelled with a K, no E's in either. Klavan clapbacks at dailywire.com. Give me your opinions. Tell me, you can tell me, you know, I'm beautiful. You can tell me I'm just so right, it's unbelievable. Or you can say something else. Whatever it is, we will read it on the air. From Jeff Lee, in regards to your criticism about Tucker Carlson, you're mostly correct. The Viet Cong targeted Catholics. But Tucker was indeed correct when he said the U.S. funded Syrian radicals. The U.S. gave materiel to Western Syrian rebels. But these rebels gave them to Islamist groups intentionally through corruption or by capture. It's one of the absurdities of geopolitics, similar to how the U.S. sent money to Iran while backing Israel. Yeah, you know, I acknowledge that. But That was not my problem. My problem was that he blamed America for the things that America's enemies were doing and essentially implied that they wouldn't have been doing them if we hadn't gone and fought them, which is just absurd. That is just absurd. And it goes on top of his kowtowing to Andrew Tate and to Putin. And it's just time we sort of acknowledge that something is wrong here. And I don't know his heart. I don't know his mind. I don't know his motives. I'm just saying that that video was a really, really dishonest one. And he should get hit for it. I'm sorry. But like, I got to add here, the left is so wicked. The left is so wicked that it gives me zero joy to fight with the right. But why do I sometimes think it's right to do? The reason I think it's sometimes right to do is because we're in this position, this transitional period, this is the moment to press forward onto victory with the things that places like the Daily Wire, the beachheads, the places like the Daily Wire have established. And the haters and the bigots, and I don't mean people who think there's human biodiversity and races are different. I get that. But I mean the people who hate other people. This is going to be and continue to be a multi-ethnic country. It is not a white man's country. That line is garbage. And so I really think we need to get those guys out of the movement. And I'm not talking about Tucker specifically, but I'm talking to the guys I think he's playing to when he puts out an anti-American video like that or a pro-Putin video like that. You know, we don't support murderers like Putin. Come on. You know, I mean, I have no love for American journalists, but I don't want to see them pushed off roofs or, you know, poisoned with radioactive materials. That's not the way forward, and that's not the way things are going to go in this country, because this country remains at heart a decent country. I think right now we are steeped in corruption and immorality when it comes to abortion and some sexuality things that are happening in this country. I think are really sick. I think it's a bad time. I've said it again and again. It's a dark time. But if we don't believe we can come out, then what are we fighting for at all? Why don't we just all go home to bed? And so I don't want... In this moment, when I feel the right can win, I want the right to come out clean. I want them to come out tough, mean, hard, fight like hell, but I don't want to become the mirror image of them. The stuff that Tucker believes in, the stuff that left believes in, it's the same stuff, that it's all America's fault, that everything is America's fault, and there's no problem with the, you know, it's not the Islamist fault, it's not Putin's fault. You know, he pushes a journalist off a roof from time to time. He blows up his own people from time to time in order to start a war, but it's not his. No, it's their fault. We're just not doing a very good job of fighting back. And that's why I have to sometimes attack the right, even though it turns my stomach. All right, become a member today. Go to dailywire.com/subscribe. Use code Klavan at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans. If you have not done this yet, you can't come to member block. You know what that means. The crushing darkness of Klavanlessness is moving in over you. Oh, it's gone. I can't even see you anymore. The rest of you, come to member block.